Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
Now let's go through the word just for a few minutes. Please listen. This is a very important balance. To the word you heard on Saturday, this is a continuation, and that's why we need teaching series more often than not. You see, there is something some theologians call the Johannian principle, and this is what they're referring to. They notice that in John's gospel, he was intimating something deeper about the miracle and charismatic ministry of Jesus. That the miracle and charismatic ministry of Jesus had a deeper significance. It wasn't just about what was happening. It was about what was being said by what was happening. I'll explain. Lazarus, whom Jesus loved, was sick. And they expected him to come before Lazarus died. But Jesus came 4 days after. Again, from your 2025 mindset, you wouldn't understand what was happening. But in Jewish tradition, and feel free to read up on this, in Jewish tradition, it was believed that anyone who died could still be raised up after 3 days. It was Jewish tradition. That after 3 days, no prophet could raise anyone who was dead. Only God could do it. Come on, are you listening to me? And so deliberately, Jesus waited for the fourth day. So now that's a message on his own. There's a reason why the Pharisees had been tolerating Jesus and the expansion of his ministry and his popularity. But you see, after Lazarus was raised up, they started plotting to kill him instantly. Because the narrative was pointing towards things that they were not ready to handle theologically. In Jewish tradition, a spirit that had departed after 3 days had already gone to the great beyond and could not be summoned back except by God himself. And then Jesus comes on the scene. He didn't just say, I will raise Lazarus up. If he said that, it has happened before. Are you getting what I'm saying? Maybe not in 4 days, but it had happened before. Elijah had raised somebody from the dead before. It had happened before. People, the dead were raised in the Old Testament. Elisha's bones raised up somebody. It had happened before. He didn't say, I will resurrect Lazarus. He said, I am the resurrection. So listen, it means what he's going to do with Lazarus is going to point to who he is. It's going to be the confirmation of who he is. Now, he says, everyone, not just Lazarus, who believes in me, though they are dead, will live again. I'm doing it after 4 days, so that when I do it at the end, you will say that I said so. I'm doing this in this smaller fashion so that you'll be able to at least grasp in your finite humanistic mind that I can do what I'm going to do at the end. Are you getting what I'm saying? Lazarus' miracle was pointing to salvation. And I want you to know every miracle of Jesus pointed to salvation. Some people try to draw parallels of every single miracle. I don't think that's necessary. As long as it is justified as a whole, you need to understand this is the point. When the Bible says, by his stripes we are healed, the Bible meant it in a salvific sense. It meant it from the context of salvation. But anybody who can heal from his stripes, who can restore a soul that is dead, can heal a body. Do you understand this? And what I'm saying has great implications. It means that as great as the charismatic ministry of Jesus was, it was not the final. It was not the final. God did not intend for charismatic ministry to meet all our needs. Our ultimate needs will be met in the gospel. Never forget this. Listen to me. If you have a conference of 10,000 people and 5,000 people receive miracles, I hope you know that's great. Answer me now. There aren't many conferences where you have 5,000 people receive a miracle. But even 5,000 is not everybody. And so, what we unintentionally do in the charismatic circle is ignore the many people who didn't receive and just celebrate the ones who received. Now, you leave a lot of people wondering, so is it that God doesn't love me? Why didn't it work for me? And if you are not careful, you will leave many people satisfied and excited and many people depressed. You know, something very strange happened after the watch night service. I came out, it was time to go. And then the Lord moved me. So I started walking. And I didn't know why the Lord was moving me, so I just checked one of the buildings that we're working on there. I came out of it. The car had come there. I should have entered again. But I just moved on more. And then I saw a couple. Everybody was happy because it was New Year, but they were wearing a long face. They were the ones God wanted me to meet. So I just went there, and they've been coming around, but I'd never seen them before. Are you members of this church? Yes. And they said, we just lost a loved one. We prayed, but we don't know why. Listen to me. There has never been a year that was happy for every single person. We don't like to talk about it, but it's true. There has never been a single year, statistically, that every single person was happy. That every single person was happy financially, happy health-wise, happy in relationships. Never has there been a year. And anybody who doesn't know this has not lived long enough or has not pastored a great church. So here is what you need to know. Even Ebenezer is a pointer to something deeper. Because there is another stone of help. The one that stone of help in 1 Samuel 7 was pointing to. The stone that the builders rejected, that has become the chief cornerstone. Are you listening to me? The rock that you must place your hope in. That is the finality of our hope, the finality of our salvation. Understand this. If you were God, what will you do? If you see that corruption has entered into this world, and the only solution is to create a new heaven and a new earth. But that new heaven and a new earth, if you allow everybody enter, the new heaven will become like the old heaven. Because whether you like it or not, stop seeing evil as some independent thing. Evil is in people. There are some people who must not enter heaven. Otherwise, heaven will become hell. You know, I want to say something controversial. So let me say it the way they told me. When I visited South Africa, they told me something that happened. And it speaks to us as Africans and how we should probably take more accountability for our frame of mind, the way we talk, the way we think and everything. So when all that happened, Nelson Mandela happened, and he was freed, and there was a liberation, there was a particular white community that was very elite in South Africa that allegedly a lot of black people ran there and literally just drove the white people out of their houses. Drove them out and took over their houses. People started living in houses that they did not build. And that was like justice for all the years of oppression. So the white people left, went to a new community, built it from the ground up. In 10 years, that fresh place became like a slum. And the place where the white people went became elite. According to what the person told me, I don't live in South Africa. Them tell me. So he said, in that community where the black people went, you cannot drive there with your windows wound down anymore. So it just tells you, it's not just about the environment, it's about the people. So now, what do you do? And if Christ should come, if Christ came 5 years ago, some of you will not have made it. Are you getting what I'm saying? If he comes today, some of your relatives will not make it. And so, the coming of Christ, even though the implication is that the tribulation in the world currently will still linger. Are you getting what I'm saying? And in that time being, by the mercies of God, we contend for the miraculous and we see the miraculous. But you understand that the ultimate plan of God is in salvation. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? And the fact that he's delaying, he's not slack like men count slackness. It is the long suffering of God giving room for more people to repent. That is what is happening. And until that happens, in this world, you will have tribulations. I know you're prayerful. I know you're faithful. I know you come to church regularly. But understand this. In this world, you will have tribulation. Do you understand the balance? It's quite important. I want to read a psalm that I think will bless you. Look at Psalm 34. We'll read from verse 1 to 3. Let's read from verse 1 to go. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually. Say continually. I'll come back to that. Now verse 2. 1 to go. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and be glad. Verse 3, 1, 2, go. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name. Let's read verse 4, 1, 2, go. All right. Verse 5. I don't want us to end up reading the whole thing, so give me a second. Where does it say the afflicted hear and be glad? Okay, I get it. It's a translation that we're using. So he says, my soul makes his boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and be glad. He says the humble, okay. NKJV says the humble. Well, when you give me the ESV, let's see what the ESV says. Do you have the ESV? It also says, what translation says the afflicted? The NIV, right? NIV, right? Okay. It says, I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. You know, so you can understand theologically why they will call the afflicted humble. Have you ever had a bad situation that humbled you? Now, look at this from this standpoint. I'll bless the Lord. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make his boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear this and rejoice. Meaning, I'm going through a tough time. I'm going through circumstances that are not favorable. But my hope is still in the gospel. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? Listen to me. Do you know it's been proven psychologically that when we hear things like this, we try to move away from it. It's a safety mechanism. We don't like to dwell on negativity too much. And that's why social media is the perfect escape tool for a generation like this. Because the moment you see bad news, just scroll up small, you see skits. You keep it moving. But the reality of this, one of the finality of wisdom, at least from an earthly point, is that you realize, just like Solomon, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, if you have not accepted the fickle nature of life, you are not wise. You are living in denial. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, in your lifetime, this is no prophecy of doom. It is a statistical reality. And if it does not happen to you, it's a prophetic exemption which I pray for. But understand that many faithful people will experience this. That you would either lose a loved one or have some financial trouble, at least for a while, or just some form of trial or tribulation. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations. The assurance is that you have overcome the world. Are you getting what I'm saying? But he said, you will. You know, I was reading a material that was talking about this. And he said, if it will take you 1 hour to finish reading this writing, he said, between then, 100 children would have died. You know, I didn't really like his approach, but it did something to me. Are you getting what I'm saying? Before this service is over, all over the world, about 100 children would have died. In every 1 hour, maybe to violence or something like that. So understand this. We believe in a God who heals the sick, raises the dead, turns difficult situations around. And listen, we will not believe in an Ebenezer who can raise the dead and give eternal life if at least in some shape or form, we don't see his help in practical aspects of our lives, in smaller things. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that is the salvific reality vis-a-vis the charismatic reality of the church. And at the end, we win. Are you getting what I'm saying? I said, at the end, we still win. Let me take that again. At the end, we still win. So the entire Bible actually is about suffering. In Genesis, you see evil entering the world. In Exodus, you see God's people being oppressed, God bringing them out. In, you know, throughout the Old Testament, you see different wicked world powers and administrations oppressing the children of Israel, admittedly because they strayed away from God. And then to begin the New Testament, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards man, because a savior is born. That is the narrative of the entire Bible. See, you can't have a savior except there's trouble. So implicitly in embracing the reality of the existence of a savior is admitting that something is wrong. And if you walk on the road, if you have a 9-to-5, every time you drive, you will see that something is wrong. And something is wrong in a way that God cannot. See, when you say, why can't, if there's a God, why can't he just intervene now? Be careful what you ask for. If God should intervene, your auntie may die. instantly. Do you know all the witches in your family? You know, that thing always makes me laugh. When we talk about witches, we always act like it's something distant. Like it's nobody's relative. So we just hear about it. So, who then has a mother that is a witch? Or a dad that is a wizard? You just act like it's something distant. Have you noticed everybody is good at their burial? As a pastor, it's always a very difficult thing. You just see, everybody, they lie. Let's come. He was a good man. Slow down. Slow down. Was he? Am I allowed to say that? Just they patronize the dead person. And this is what God has done in his wisdom. He has put final salvation at some point in future that nobody knows. But all we know is that for all the time we have, we are giving people more opportunity to hear and receive the gospel. And right now, even if we walk through the fire, I will be with you. Say loud amen. You know, it was Tim Keller who called it a prophetic metaphor of suffering in general. Because if you were the four Hebrew boys, you would have preferred that as he was about to throw them into the fire, he changed his mind, that something touched him. Or something just held his hand and he just fell. Ah! He would have shared testimony in church, great deliverer. And there are many times in the Bible God has done stuff like that. But understand this, sometimes they will actually throw you in. And this is the promise of God. You will actually enter the fire, you will walk through it, but it will not destroy you. Are you getting what I'm saying? And you see, listen, and you see, and this is the paradox of pain we don't like to admit. Sometimes it's in the fire that you see the revelation of Christ. I have counseled many people, many arrogant people, many people who wanted nothing to do with God. It's one trial. And let me ask you this, be honest. If you were God, let's imagine that the length of this stage was eternity. Huh? And the 100 years is just a dot here. I hope you know, in the scale of eternity, even 100 years, even if you live to 100 years, is just a dot. You know that, don't you? It seems long, but compared to eternity, it's nothing. And you have one father that will not hear the gospel. And then a trial comes. And God knows, this is his chance to finally pay attention. I'm telling you what I know. You know, I had the privilege to be in a meeting on the island. Was it early last year or 2 years ago? A white man, you know, a Christian billionaire. His business actually at some point was doing billions in dollars. So he sat with me and he was telling me his story. He was not in the law, just living his life. Then he had a diagnosis from the doctor. And he ran to God aggressively. The Lord spared his life, but he has been a preacher ever since. The proof of it is this white man was in Africa for missions. If we had told him months before, especially when his business was booming, you know, that if you come and do missions in Africa, you say, for what? These things are easier said than done. It's not a laughing matter if you're the one going through it. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so, as what the enemy meant for evil, God can turn it around for good. Using it to build people's faith, using it to reveal himself to people. I'm telling you the fact, sometimes it's only in the fire that Nebuchadnezzar's eyes are finally open to count 1, 2, 3, 4. And he's asking, how many people did we throw in here? There is something about fire that reveals Christ. I'm telling you, something. It first throws you into an existential crisis. You just realize, first and foremost, the fickle nature of Christ, of life. Have you greeted somebody last week and he did not make next week? You just be like, dead, how? I saw him, we greeted. And then your hubris will calm down. You just realize, hey, I have never been in control of my life, oh. That every day I wake up and I'm breathing well, my hands are working, you will appreciate it. Have you ever recovered from a sickness and there were things you never paid attention to, you never appreciated, that now became a big deal for you? Have you ever had weak low? You couldn't button your shirt. You never respected this small finger. You never respected this small finger until it started paining you. Some of you know what I'm saying. Have you ever recovered from a sickness that you couldn't eat? The next time you were eating, you had a fresh appreciation for a tongue that can taste, for a stomach that can keep food. Are you getting what I'm saying? Eyes that can look at it and desire it. You now had a fresh appreciation. Come on. That's why I'm here. Listen to me. In as much as we believe in the miraculous, we see the miraculous. You see, every year, even I am growing. Every year. Last year was the first time in my life, I'll be honest with you, that I prayed for 3 people in a coma and they woke up almost instantly. First time, you know? So this year, there'll be more. I know it. But at the same time, understand this. Life is a privilege. Don't forget the text I started with at the watch night service. What is life? Is it not a vapor that appears for a while and disappears? So there must still be that sensitivity, that appreciation. Every day is a gift, though. And whilst my leg can move, they would dance for Jesus. Come on, are you listening to me? And part of the things we're going to be dancing about today is, God, you see this hand? It's still moving. As long as you keep it moving, it will move for you. You see this leg? It still moves. As long as it still moves, as long as this ear can still hear music, it will hear your word and it will respond to you. That's why we're here. Thank you, Father. Can I give you just 2 minutes before we start praising the Lord? To thank him. Thank him from your hearts. Thank you. Thank you. Thank him. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm not using this to buy time. Actually, thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank you. Thank him. Thank him. Don't praise him cute. Don't think him cute. David said, I will even be more vile. For the one who gave me victory instead of your father Saul. Whenever God promotes you, remember that Saul somewhere was demoted. Don't take it for granted. It's a privilege to have life, to have breath. Who are you? What is your father's house? That you have a job. That you have a mind to assimilate. Thank him. Thank him for his goodness. For his goodness. For his kindness. For his mercies. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809 996 7000. Blessings.